Hey, Podnutkins. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 553. My name is Door-to-Door Geek. This is Podnuts Network, all kinds of tech shows. This is Android App Addicts, all about mobile computing, portable devices, Android apps, ecosystem, news, FUD, all kinds of things on this show. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Anthony Labreck. Thank you for your active patronage from February 2016. Still an active Patreon. Thank you very much, Anthony. If you too would like to become a Patreon supporter to this show, just go to patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts. Link will be in the show. If you do become a Patreon, you then are among the elite people who enable us to not have ad-laden shows from pillar to post, from beginning to end. Or literally, I listened to two podcasts in the past week. They literally only published a show so they could run the ad. The show was only a minute and a half long. That to me is disgusting. And that is something that Podnuts tries not to do. And this week we're trying not to do it with the help of Ivor. How's everything going, man?
Oh, not too bad. Door, thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah, having a good week. The weather was foul yesterday, but pretty good today. Nice and sunny. So yeah, we're enjoying a nice day down here in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, the weather here, typically in October, it's one of two things where I'm at. You need a jacket with you at all times, but you never know if it's going to be 50 degrees or 90 degrees or raining, pouring down raining, or really sunny. And it's been literally like in the middle-ish. It's been mild temperatures, a little bit of rain here and there, but for the most part, it's actually been very, it's been much better than it was in September and August, I'll say.
Tell you what I am, though. I'm pretty damn sick of hearing about the Pixel 4.
Well, I mean, when you listen to tech journalists will talk about anything when somebody gives them stuff for free. 99.999% of the people talking about the Pixel 4 got it for free, so they feel obligated to, but they'll never be transparent with the people and say, look, I'm only talking about this because it's free, because it's a really non-spectacular device, and that's the best way I can describe it. Everything about it is utterly non-spectacular, especially the ridiculously horrid battery life, which only a couple people are actually mentioning. And as far as cameras are concerned, this is 2019. As far as 2019 is concerned, it's okay. It isn't even the best camera the Pixels have ever had.
Yeah, people are saying the Pixel 3 camera is actually a lot better.
So
or the 3A, which is cheaper too.
Well, right, and that's the thing. People got to remember now, if you time travel back, the time when this phone actually got conceptualized, written on the boards on the wall, was roughly 24 months ago. 24 months ago, we were still riding the wave of the phones becoming $1,000 and everyone in the business thinking that's where everything was going. So this phone was designed when people were paying way too much for devices. Okay. Now the Pixel 5 will come, I tell you right now, it's going to come at a better price point. I'm still not going to say it's going to be affordable or reasonably priced, but it will be much more reasonably priced in comparison versus the Pixel 4. And hopefully more features is what I'll say. I actually heard two podcasts doing their best to, I don't even know how to describe this, but it's like when you go into a job interview and somebody says, well, tell me what's the worst thing about you? And then you say, well, I'm a perfectionist. You know what I mean? You like try to lie and spin it. Well, people I've heard try to spin the fact that Pixels come abandoned with nothing on it. They try to say that's a security feature and that makes it much more user-friendly to the non-techie person. So what you're telling me is that Google puts no effort into Google to make it spectacular. They literally just slap vanilla Android on it and then just leave it as such. Now, for some people, that's perfection in a phone. For a lot of people, I'm pretty sure that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for a complete ecosystem. And dare I say, probably a majority of the people. And the real kicker is they're not even able to sell this phone in the number one growing market in the world, India.
Yeah.
So this phone is going to be a colossal failure. Expect the support to be very lackluster. Expect the sales to be very lackluster. Expect the updates to be very non-spectacular whatsoever. So if you get this phone for a great price, congratulations. Otherwise, run away from it. And if you want a Pixel, get a Pixel 3.
Yep. What surprised me most was the lack of fingerprint sensor. They've gone straight out of Apple's copybook and gotten rid of it, along with the headphone jack, of course. So they've just pissed off a lot of people for no good reason.
Well, I'll say this. I don't like anybody or anything using a biometric as a password. I'm okay with people using it as a form of identification, like a username, but I don't like people using it as a password. With that said, I appreciate some of the things that are easier with a fingerprint reader. I like it when my fingerprint reader is actually multifunctional. Like my last Honor 8, I was able to tap the fingerprint, hold the fingerprint, or swipe the fingerprint and do three different functions, except for just using it as a fingerprint reader.
Yeah, that was useful. Yeah.
But to not have one at all...
doesn't make sense.
That's about as stupid as Sony and the phones that they've been selling. Yeah. I guess they think they're trendsetters when in actuality, they're just like the kids in school that look stupid wearing their pants inside out.
And they're the kids that are just copying everybody else, not coming up with anything original. They're just copying Apple.
Well, that's the thing. They're not even doing
exactly,
a good job.
Exactly. Yeah.
The good thing is, and this is what I keep telling my coworker friends when they keep like stressing over phones and what to get. And I tell them straight up if they should get an iPhone, because, they have low IQ levels. It'll be a perfect device for you. Yeah,
yep.
Go for it. But I strive to tell the smarter people, it's never the right time to buy a phone. That's the best thing about a phone. If you wait, the deals only get better. You only get more choice. Unless you're on like a closed carrier like Verizon, then it's never the right time to buy a phone. But I swear to everyone, wait. Just wait another 6-8 months. We're going to see more and more and more innovation with more and more better pricing, with more and more compatible devices on more networks, yet they're just going to be almost no-name devices where you're going to be able to get a good device for $150, $250, maybe $300 at the most, and you will be literally competing on so many different check marks with the premier flagship devices. It's kind of insane.
Yep. Well, I'm just waiting for the... revelation of the what hardware fault's going to happen with the Pixel 4 now. So every release of the Pixel has had a hardware fault, either screen or microphone or speaker or whatever.
Or like an endless boot loop.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. That's a feature.
Well,
not a flaw.
Right. Well, to me, the real like news thing that only a couple people talked about, and they really didn't do it the due diligence in it, is the fact that Huawei just reported the first quarter of this year's numbers from January to the end of April. And that was prime time for the U.S. government lambasting, bad mouthing, banning, and everything else they could against the company, saying that they were poison, encouraging other countries to stop doing business with them. Yet Huawei saw a 25% increase in sales revenue.
Yeah, well, that just kind of rallied the domestic market for them, didn't it?
Well, that and everywhere else in the world except the U.S., because literally they're not really in the U.S.
Never have been.
Everywhere else they saw increases. So that's like never eating a salad and going into a restaurant and bad mouthing the salad. People there look at you thinking, you never ordered a salad. Why am I listening to this guy? He doesn't even know what a salad is. So I'm okay with the government talking bad about them, keep talking bad about them, because all they're going to do is make more money, make more sick money. Their network equipment is basically passing every single test that's been done. Their phones have passed every security test that's been in the face of the planet. Keep talking bad about them. Yes, they might have done bad things with stealing technology. This is 2019. Show me a company that doesn't steal technology, and I'll show you an unsuccessful company. Just saying.
Well, never mind that the whole patent system is a joke, and you just end up with people sitting on patents to sue other people in court.
Yeah, and I'll say that's what they're good at, maybe?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I don't know. You brought this link to me right before we hit record about... Minecraft, which I will say, I didn't think we were going to talk about Minecraft this week.
Yes, well, I just noticed this the other day. Apparently now New Zealand is the first country to get Minecraft Earth, which is, as far as I can make out, a version of Minecraft which incorporates augmented reality so you can do Minecraft actions or in your backyard rather than having to sit in front of a screen. You can pretend you're in a Minecraft world outside. And I think it has a integration with social. So they're doing the whole get your mates together and let's play Minecraft outside. I think it's quite a positive thing. They also said they're going to be adding new countries every week. So I'm not sure when it's going to get to the USA, but it's nice to actually have the first release for a change.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And I'll say this, I hate everything about Minecraft because it's not a game as far as I'm concerned. It's an activity. It's like people who say bowling is a sport. No, you're rolling a ball against inanimate objects. How's that a sport? A sport is like baseball or cricket, rugby, or soccer, or rugby, where people are going against each other. When you're just doing something one way, like golf, it's an activity. Yeah. Okay. Minecraft is an activity.
Well, it's also.
And it's Microsoft.
Yeah. And it's Microsoft. Yeah. But it's quite social. I've got three kids and we have three computers in the living room and they all sit down and they fire up Minecraft and they all play Minecraft together quite happily for hours. So they obviously get something out of it. Do your kids play Minecraft?
Well, yeah. Oh, of course, they're kids. I mean, that's the thing. No matter what I feel about it, it is successful as hell. Now, here's here to me is the 3 points I'll make. Number one, I believe today, October 24th, I believe today, Samsung and Google both said VR is dead. We are canceling all VR hardware. Google Daydream, gone. Samsung Gear VR, gone. Dead. They're never going to sell them again. They were great while they lasted. The era of VR is over, which is really honestly big. The last E3, there was literally nothing VR or AR. The previous E3, there was only one booth with AR or VR. So we are at a precipice of change when it comes to AR VR. People are going to have to put up or shut up. Microsoft, to me, releasing this on Android and iOS is announcing they're giving up on HoloLens. Period. It's done.
Yep.
Okay. Don't expect to hear anything from HoloLens in the next year. If you do, it's going to be one of those side news stories. Oh, it's awesome. Great. Yeah. Whatever it is. But that's it.
Well, I think it still has a commercial market. It's still promised there, but
I'm not convinced because of the incredible lack of view with everyone said that you got on it. It was literally, they said, like looking out of a sliver. It was so bad. We're at least with Google Glass, you have full range view. Here's what this really is. This is really has nothing to do with Minecraft. It really does. This has nothing to do with New Zealand. It really doesn't. This has to do with Microsoft figuring out that they have to right now learn what Google learned by doing Pokemon Go, by doing Ingress. They have to learn like how Google is doing Stadia, how they want to do Xbox Cloud. They have to get out there in the real world, have real people using real devices, and have real experiences out there. This is their like step into that arena. And to be honest, it's bold for them to put the word Minecraft on it because it guarantees millions and millions and millions of downloads, which means you better have your infrastructure ready if you want this to be truly multiplayer.
Probably explains why they started with New Zealand. They've got a sort of limited number of participants and they can get quite a lot of good information out of it.
Well, and I will say as a business, like Microsoft, the one thing that they understand is they cannot just release the floodgates. They have to have a very monitored, maintained, controlled release or else stuff has a chance of going boom and just exploding all over them. I am really interested in 2 to 3 weeks to hear if there's any buzz about this because honestly, I expect there will be just because it's frigging Minecraft and the kids can't shut up. And if anything gets kids to at least go out their front door, I'm all in favor, even if it's Microsoft.
Wonder how many broken phones we'll see as a result then.
Well, you know, oh, the business would love that. There was another like tease. I don't know if you saw it, Ivor. Motorola sent out basically a teaser. I want to say in that's a new pop up on my browser. November 13th, Motorola is going to have a event where they're going to unveil their Razer flip phone, which everyone is believing you're going to flip it open and it's going to basically be a two-screened endeavor, or a one screen with a crease in the middle kind of thing. I'll just say this is the kind of thing I don't know what to expect. I hope for disruption. I hope other companies will feel threatened, and I hope the device does at least moderately successful. It's the kind of device I don't see myself buying, especially the first revision kind of thing. But it at least has my attention.
Yeah, I think they're banking too much on the nostalgia factor for the old Motorola Razr, rather than innovating to something new and different. All depends on the execution and the quality of the hardware. I have to say I don't have a lot of faith in Motorola's hardware execution to pull this off.
Well, I mean, I've had multiple Motorola devices. The last time I had one was maybe, well, personally, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We have had two other ones in the house, is what I'll say. And Motorola build quality, to me, was never premium, but it was never the junk kind of things I've seen. It's always been at least in the middle, maybe a little bit better than average.
It was reliable.
Reliable, most of the time fairly priced, and most of the time just above average. Just, you know, not great, but just above average. So my hope is this device isn't junk. This device doesn't break within the first couple days people have it. It actually has the ability to last, but I'll say this, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. And nostalgia alone will drive a certain number of sales, where you get these old people who want to think that they're Captain Kirk. And if you don't know who Captain Kirk is, stop subscribing to anything I do for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Don't watch Star Trek original series.
Well, the classic is it. People want that nostalgia in their hand. I'm afraid they're not doing the first rule of project management, which is managing expectations, because they're letting people go crazy with their expectations. So I don't see how this thing will ever meet people's expectations. I just hope it's not a colossal failure.
Well, it has the potential to be quite a good success for Motorola, but it'd be interesting to see what comes following in the second or third generation, if they decide to go there.
Well, again, I just hope it's not a flop. They're cheaper. E's and G's are fine, very, very fine devices, but they're not the kind of devices I would ever strive to own.
Exactly.
Do you have any more news type articles
Ivor? No, I had today.
Okay, well, I have kind of a news thing, but it's really not, because what it really is, it's a complaint. It's a complaint because this is not on Android at all. And I don't see any plans for them to come on Android at all. And I'm honestly upset. I'm very upset. And if you don't know about this app, I'll try my best to give it a good summarization. It's called Do Not Pay. Okay. Do Not Pay, all one word. First off, they got the domain donotpay.com, which means they had money. They had investment. Okay. Apparently, this young man behind this, their father was basically, like a rebel in his own measure, the things that he was doing. So this kid started this company up called Do Not Pay. It evolved with the tagline now, the world's first robot lawyer, okay? Which is honestly kind of vague, but it's definitely catching your ear, okay? This is what the app does, but it's not only an app, of course, it's a monthly service, because everything's a monthly service. It's $3 a month, okay? Up front, it's $3 a month. But what they say they do is fight corporations, beat bureaucracy, find hidden money, sue anyone, automatically cancel your free trials. Okay, so one of the things they do is they give you basically a fake credit card number, but it's a real credit card number. Whenever you sign up to anything that you never intend on renewing, you use their credit card number, and it's a one-use only credit card number. They cannot automatically renew. It will always cancel. Basically, if you ever get a parking ticket in any place they say, in one of these like major cities kind of thing, it will automatically come to your defense and argue on your behalf somehow kind of thing. They are also piggybacking on the old app that I literally brought to this show at least 6 years ago called Lucy Phone. Lucy Phone Basically, they're kind of do the same thing where if you use their application to call a company, that company has an arrangement with Do Not Pay to where you jump to the lead of the queue. You basically don't have to wait on hold. And you literally just hit a thing and the company calls you back. You don't wait on hold. They have like small claims court for like suing some of the big companies in the U.S. Basically, when you have the class action lawsuits kind of thing. All of this for $3 a month. This is the kind of thing, even if they only let you subscribe and automatically cancel your free trials, to some people, that alone's worth $3. So I love the idea of this, but it's not on Android.
Oh, thank God for that.
And at the very top, you do see Android Early Access Web. And of course, I tried to, and basically it wouldn't let me go through with it.
Sue anyone in small claims court. Sue United Airlines, Equifax, Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, and Uber. You could never do this in my country. This would never work.
Okay. Well, is the idea of never having to worry about signing up for a free trial and forgetting about it worth anything? Because that's the feature that got me. I'm not going to lie.
Well, when I saw fight corporations, beat bureaucracy, find hidden money, sounds a bit like a conspiracy theory website.
Well, as long as they make money, I guess they're you know, doing something.
Well, I'm sure some people will get some value out of this, particularly people with parking tickets.
Yeah, or people with like trouble with repetitive parking tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. Bizarre. Yeah. Cool. Well, shall I bring an app?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, I don't like to bring apps that I haven't tested myself, but I haven't really had time. I only installed this one last night, and I didn't want to try it out last night. This is Leisure Suit Larry, the new version. You got it there, Dawg?
Okay. Yes, sir.
So, speaking about nostalgia, going back to the Motorola, Leisure Suit Larry was probably one of the first games I ever played on a computer, and it was refreshingly rude. So I hope the sequel here, or the version they've got here, is called Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams Don't Dry, which I thought is a perfect name for this particular app, and the reboot. And the graphics look great, actually. It looks like it's been really well done. But the ratings in the Play Store are not good, 2.3 at the moment. And I think that's because it gives, if you know anything about Leisure Suit Larry, you have to answer a quiz when you first try it to play it. And that quiz is designed for questions that someone your age would know. And a lot of people are complaining that they can't answer the question, so therefore they can't play the game. If you check, you don't actually have to do the quiz. You can skip the quiz and go straight to the game. The quiz is just a bit of nostalgia back to the original game. So I haven't actually tried it, but I will be playing it over the next week or so. And if anybody else wants to let us know what they think of it, that would be great.
Okay, well, I will say, for those that don't know, obviously for the ones that do know, adults only, 18 plus. Leisure Suit Larry isn't like, you know, trying to go food shopping in this adventure. Yes. He's doing something a little different. It does have in-app purchases, it's, I will say.
$25.
I'll say, well, any app that has in-app purchases seems like it's almost impossible to get like close to a 5-star. Because once you see in-app purchases, somebody will download it, somebody will play it, and then somebody will get upset because there's in-app purchases and immediately start to downvote it. But yeah, this has to be newer is what I'll say. 103 reviews, which honestly is not much for a game of this.
It just recently came out.
Name recognition. Yeah.
When was the last update? October 4th, 2019. So it's been out for about 20 days.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah, content rating, adults only, 18 plus, strong sexual content, nudity, strong language, yada, yada. That's what I'll say. Yeah, I mean, nostalgia, again, it's a hell of a drug. On name recognition alone, you'll get a certain number of downloads.
Absolutely. Interesting note, the developers are based in Germany. Obviously, may not be the original people, but just people who bought the rights.
That's what I'm going to guess. They just bought the rights.
Yeah. We've got 10,000 plus installs already. Yeah.
That's good numbers.
Did you ever play Leisure Suit Larry back in the day?
No, because I mean, I really never had a computer back that far ago. My first computer was a Hewlett Packard. It was one of the first multimedia mm-hmm. computers. I want to say it had 16 meg of RAM, like a 200 meg hard drive, something like that. And I like barely knew about bulletin board systems.
Right. Yep.
I want to say I came into computers right around the time of Tomb Raider.
Oh, wow. That's late.
Yeah. Well, without sounding dumb, my mom was technically a government employee. My dad was technically a government employee. We weren't swimming in money.
That
so,
was back when PCs cost about $15,000.
Well, I will say we didn't even have cable television because they both deemed it being too expensive. And I do think when they got the computer, it was $2,800. I believe he still like chintzed out where he didn't get the full computer. There was something missing from it. I can't
imagine what you can get for that nowadays.
Oh, well, yeah. You can get like one crappy phone. Oh, wait. Yeah, prices definitely went crazy in the good direction to where now we have Raspberry Pis, you know, $55 computers that can do amazing things. Okay, this app I'm bringing, it's actually because I brought it to reddit.com/r/android apps, I believe. Somebody asked there, and I will say I do like solving things. I like to believe, at least in my 9-to-5, my title should be Solutions Architect. Should be my like official title. My title among coworkers should be Senior Internet Research Specialist 2 is what I feel like, because that's the only thing I'm good at is really searching Google. But somebody asked, I'm looking for an alarm, but I'm not looking for an alarm that's strictly based upon time. I want an alarm that is based upon events and then time off of those events, which were, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? You're making no sense. He said, well, look, or they said, sorry to assume genders in 2019. They said, I want an alarm to go off a half an hour after sunrise or half an hour before sunrise. And I thought to myself, self, that's actually genius. I never even thought of that kind of clock. So I went and I stumbled upon, after searching for, you know, 5 minutes, Sun Alarm by Volker, Volking Software. Engineering weather app, 107 reviews, E for everyone, does have in-app ads and in-app purchases. That's one of the downfalls when you look for something this specific. 4.4 average reviews, again, 107 reviews, 5,000 plus installs, 3.0 megs in size, updated September 11, 2019, version 3.2. 4.1 Android and up, content rating E for everyone, in-app purchase $1.99, which I do believe is to just buy it outright. Permissions on the app is just low location, photos, storage, other. It needs photo and storage, I believe, for media files so you can customize the alarm. Location, because it needs to know where you're at if you care about stuff like sunrise. But those weren't the only events, is what I will say. Not only sunrise, but you can literally say noon or evening or full moon, all kinds of events like that. I thought that was actually kind of, I don't want to say ingenious, but I thought it was a really good idea. So if you're looking for an app based upon solar events, if you will, look up Sun Alarm, and it should meet your needs.
I just noticed in the in-app purchases, it has about $3 per item. I think I missed earlier what you said about purchases. What are you actually paying for?
I believe you're actually paying for the app. What you download is the free version. You pay the in-app purchase price, and I believe it removes the ads, correctly.
Oh, that's all right. Then, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a great idea. I know that Google Keep has an option to set alarms around your location. So when you go past a certain area, you can set an alarm off, which I had actually found quite helpful in the past. But, yeah, this is great. Should see if my wife, because my wife gets up before me, and quite often she forgets to turn off her alarm clock. She's got one of those little travel alarm clocks next to her bed, and that thing keeps going off, and I have no idea how to turn it off, and I just throw it against the wall. So something like this would be good for her.
Yeah, and I'll say the Google location alarms to me are almost useless, but hear me out. Hypothetically, I want an alarm to go off when I hit my house. Realistically, I need to set it in a location before I hit my house, because there's literal lag in the Google ecosystem. And the, for instance, is I used Google walking directions today to walk from where I was at to a post office and back. And it was literally 2 miles each way, I believe.
Was that on Google Maps?
I only had to take three.
Yeah.
And I only had to make, I think, three turns each way. Every time I made a turn, the turn was 40 plus seconds in the past.
Oh, wow.
There was so much lag. And this is every phone I've ever used with walking directions where I go, I walk to the corner, I turn, I walk. 40 seconds later, it tells me to turn at the corner I just turned at. And same thing, like when I do location alarms, I can't say when I get to the supermarket, set the alarm to go off. I have to put it like the two stores before the supermarket, or else the alarm just seems like it's behind in time.
I found it good for one-off sort of things, really. Where you're driving past somewhere and like you're on your way home and you need to pick up something on the way home, and you can set an alarm for a particular shop. So you need to make sure you stop in and pick up whatever you need while you're on your way home. That's the sort of thing I've used it for. And I've had no problem with lag. Might be an issue with your network speed or something like that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it shouldn't be network. It should all be
on device.
Compass and GPS. And I'll say every single device I've ever had, Motorola, Samsung, Huawei, Asus, every device I've ever had, when I hold my phone in front of me doing walking directions, the arrow is never pointing directly in the place it should be. It's always at least 20 to 30, if not 40 degrees off.
And you have to do the calibration. You have to wave your phone around and all that stuff.
I've done that more times than I have hair on my head, which is going down every day. But yeah, and it only, whenever I do the calibration, you should never do the calibration in a house, because that's how sensitive these magnets are. When you actually look at the actual guide of the hardware people making those magnetometers, they literally say to go outside like 80 feet away from anything
to
properly calibrate, which is ridiculous. And I've done it and it works good for like a day. And then the magnetometer shifts and I'm back to being...
You might as well just have a regular compass. You're better off with one.
I hate to say it, but yeah.
Okay.
And I'll say this. We mentioned really quick about the tech coming down in price ridiculously. Mm. Here's a perfect example of how we do not really notice how advanced we actually are and how much cleaner we actually are as a people. If you stop and think the number of things that these phones do, it would be like doing a deck of cards, like 50 plus different things that now we do with this one piece of hardware, where if this was 20, 30 years ago, we would literally need 20 to 40 different pieces of hardware just to do all these tasks
We need a suitcase to carry them all around.
True. Right. Exactly. So like, it isn't only that prices have came down ridiculously versus the past, but also the functionality and use cases have expanded exponentially. It's literally insane. And it's the kind of thing, in 3 to 5 years, we really don't know what our main use case are going to be for these devices. But one thing I'm sure is most people will not use them most of the time to make calls.
Yeah.
Because we don't like talking to people. especially when, the telemarketers keep calling.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what this ambient computing is all about. Isn't it? The whole radar and the integration of the sensors to set your automatic lighting and when you walk into a room and all that sort of stuff. It's just going to be ubiquitous everywhere. The computers will do everything for you.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay, you ready for another app? Okay,
sure.
One is called Storio. And I don't know if you've heard of it. Oh, did that come through on the chat?
Thanks.
I don't know if you heard of an app called Magisto. When it first came out, I installed an app called Magisto, and it was basically what it would do. It would integrate with your photos on your camera, and it would make little video stories of all the photos that you've taken that day. So usually at the end of the day, after you've taken some photos, you would end up with a nice little video with some cool music and some pretty cool visual effects of filters and so forth. And it was a really cool little video. But then they branched off and they started going into business applications. So they wanted businesses to start using their app. And they started charging people horrendous amounts of money to do anything with their app. So I stopped using it. But this one here, Storio, seems to be very similar. I think it's designed primarily for Instagram stories, but with that aside, I like the functionality in that you can specify all the photos that you've taken within a certain time range, and then it will automatically collate those into a video, a slideshow with music. You have the option then of editing that slideshow, or you, the other option also is to just manually select the photos that you want to include. You have the option also including geotagged photos only, it comes out with a nice little video at the end that you can share among your grandparents or family members or put on social media. I tried this out and I was quite impressed with it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a picture person, which there's plenty of them out there, I'll say that. But also, I would say, B, looking at the video in here, even better if you're a traveler. I mean, quite literally, if you're just going down to the local downtown for the day because, you know, the government ordered you to, and you're taking pictures along the way, I don't think that would make a good story personally. If you actually travel for work or for enjoyment, yeah, I can see this being not only cool, but something that you actually would like to share.
Well, with Christmas coming up, people are going to go on holiday and they're going to take lots of photos of their family and things they're doing on holiday. So yeah, I just thought it'd be a good option for people to try out rather than having to do all this yourself. The thing I like about it, it just automatically does it all without you having to be bothered with the details. You can create a nice little movie in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't see it do was the Ken Burns effect.
Yeah.
Which it wouldn't shock me if it does, is I'll say. No,
well, there is a black and white mode. You can do that.
Gotcha. Yeah, they do have a dedicated website, storyoapp.com. So if you want to go there, check it out. I think it's cool, but I will say I pay attention to studies that confirm my biases. And I do remember a study 2 years ago where they swore that if you take a picture of something, you then subconsciously allow yourself to not remember it. So by not taking pictures, you retain more of the things going on around you. That's my excuse why I don't take pictures when I'm out with the family.
Yeah, but then you get older and you forget everything.
What? I didn't hear you. Oh, wait. I also go deaf, too.
Deaf as well, yeah.
Well, I know. And, you know, it's kind of like I told the people today. I've had well in excess of 1,000 concussions in my life. So the question, easily. So the question isn't when, if I'm going to start to forget. It's just a question of when.
Play a bit of football in your youth, did you?
Nope. No football. Okay. I know, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I got this app here. And the main reason I'm bringing this app is because I haven't had root on an ant. No. I'm going to say this correctly. I have not actively went out of my way to pursue having root on my main device now for 4 years, I'm going to say 3 to 4 years. Part of it is in the Android ecosystem, in my opinion, has matured to give me a fair amount of the things that I used to use root for by the default. Part of it is I'm using phones that acknowledge that I'm not just a stupid user like the iPhones do, but I'm an actual administrator of my device where I actually can manage applications and preferences and make sure I know what apps are accessing what networks, what apps are accessing what parts of my datas, what apps are, have the ability to even cross-pollinate themselves. So I don't need root as much is what I'll say, but this app caught my attention. It's called VMOS, V-M-O-S, Virtual Root on Android Double System by VMOS App Cloner. It's under personalization. 9,805 reviews. E for everyone. Average 3.6 reviews. Updated on October 24th, 2019. Hey. Size 22 megs in size. 500,000 plus installs. Current version 1.0.30. You need Android 5.0 and up. Content reading, of course, E for everyone. Permissions, yeah, device, app, history, calendar, photo, phone, device ID, Wi-Fi, location, microphone, storage. It needs everything. Because what this essentially does is it puts a layer between you and an application, and it makes the application believe that you have root. So if you want to run something in isolation, is the way I'll put it, that needs root, but you don't actually have root on your device, you could run this app and it will at least give you some level of root functionality to the individual application that you pick against it, but it won't actually give you root. It could be useful is what I'm going to say. If you run into people and they say, you should run this app, but you need root, and then you look down at your device and you realize you have a non-popular device or a certain Samsung device where root is not a simple thing, you can then download this application and, you know, act like it at least.
I think I actually played with this a little while ago. Yes, that's the right one. Yeah. The thing I was slightly concerned about was only gave you a version of Android 4.1, but they said they were going to be soon moving to Android 7. So not sure how much you'd be able to run on 4.1.
Well, I'll say this. It's hit and miss.
Right.
Completely hit and miss is what I'll say. But I will say this. Josh isn't here. One thing I wanted him to bring up was he was searching in the App Store for a IRC application he's used, quote unquote, for years. I believe it's YIIRC. Don't quote me on it. Okay. But he opened up Google Play. He searched for it. He scrolled and he scrolled and he scrolled and he scrolled and he couldn't find it. Couldn't find it at all. If you're looking for a very specific Android app, I tell everyone, do not load Google Play on a desktop or on a mobile device and search Google Play for an app, because the one thing Google does horrendously bad is their own search algorithms.
In the Play Store.
They prioritize date. Well, part of the reason is because they prioritize date. If you have 10 of the same applications, they ignore the rating of it. They ignore the reviewing of it. The only two things that really weigh really heavily is how many installs do they have and when was the last time updated. So if the application hasn't been updated in 4 years, it will be buried in the Google algorithms, where if you literally just go to google.com or startpage.com or duckduckgo.com and you search for the application, it will literally be like two down from the top, because everybody else in the world is competent at their search algorithms except for Google, which is kind of like saying, I don't know, like a soccer team not being able to kick a ball. I don't know. I mean, you know, so don't ever rely on what you find in the Google Play search as being the only apps. Go out to your normal search engine and just search Android space and the app name. Just because something hasn't been updated in 5 years doesn't mean it shouldn't surface. Some apps don't need updating. And we're talking about IRC, people. When was the last time IRC was updating? I have no problem waiting for an answer, because the answer is right around 1980.
Exactly. What it does.
So, yeah.
Any broke, so they ain't fixing it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any more apps?
I've got one more game. Being a New Zealander, I would be remiss in not bringing an app that concerns sheep, because sheep are a big part of New Zealand life, obviously. This little game is called Sheep Patrol, where you play a shepherd with a dog, and you have to herd a bunch of sheep around various obstacles. And it starts off easy, and it gets harder and harder as you go along. Nice little time waster game. It's and quite entertaining, because the sheep look like the sheep out of Wallace and Gromit. It's got ratings of 4.8. Last updated October 4th. 1,000 plus installs, requires Android 5.1 and up, rated for 3 plus. And I think it's free. Yeah. Oh, it has in-game purchases. I haven't bought anything. I think you can buy different types of sheepdogs and things like that. Gotcha. Yeah, it's a great game, especially if you like sheep.
Well, you know. Well, I'll just say this. To be more worldly, maybe they should offer DLC where you could have goats too. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I do like these kind of graphics. I think of these graphics as like blocky style, basically just like a Crossy Road type graphics. Unfortunately, if you're sheep sensitive, sheep's die in this game. Just saying. just letting you know. Yep.
There will be sheep.
I do like the idea of this game, because this is the kind of game you play with literally one finger.
Yes. Yep.
You just need to guide your way around. and you control no sheep whatsoever. I like that. You're the dog who are manipulating
the sheep. Run away from you. Better... So they can be pretty random in the directions they go and where they end up. Yeah.
Right. So it's in your best interest to save as many sheep as possible to get them to the end point. And I'm sure as the game goes on, it just gets more treacherous, more complicated to get there. And this says family-friendly game. I don't know about that. I see sheep dying.
It's a bit better than Leisure Suit Larry.
I digress. Yes. Yeah, the in-app purchases, I will say, it doesn't tell me, at least here, typically tells me how much the in-app purchase is. So I'm going to say it obviously isn't much.
I think it's pretty cheap, yeah. I mean, you can decide, you can obviously spend a lot over a long period of time if you want to, but I found it completely playable and very enjoyable without having to spend a dime.
Very cool. Sheep Patrol, Vivid Games essay, very cool. I'm going to bring a game too, and I will say this is a game that does cost money. Up front, I'm going to say it costs money. I will say it's only $2.99, and if you want to, you can add it to your wish list, and you can find it for a much more fair price than that. Might take a month or two. But it's called Into the Abyss by 031 Kinetics Adventure, Mature 17 Plus. I'm getting there. Mature 17 plus, 101 reviews, $2.99 to buy. I believe it was just on sale about a week ago for $1. 3.5 average reviews. It is eligible for the family plan, updated December 26, 2018, 49 megs in size, 5,000 plus installs. Current version 1.1 requires 4.1 Android and up. Content rating, mature 17 plus, violence, blood, suggestive themes, and partial nudity. Yeah. The permissions, it needs nothing, period. Okay. This is a action platformer game that I will say just out loud has tremendously great physics, simple physics. But it does touch on adult concepts, amongst them, I'll say depression and suicide and things like that. So it's might look like kiddie type thing, but the concepts of the game are not kiddie at all. The best game I can compare this to, and this will only count for some people out there, is a game called Celeste, where it had a definite adult theme behind it, but it was a tremendously challenging action platformer. This does not look as challenging, but it definitely looks challenging. Fun is the way that I'll put it. Fun with, once in a while, a very serious topic brought up in the game.
So a game to slash your wrists by?
Well, hopefully no. Hopefully, if you are suffering, it helps you get out of that feeling.
Oh, that's bizarre. I must give it a go. Although I'm not really into platform, especially 8-bit platform games. What is this fascination with 8-bit platformers?
Well, I'll say part of the reason I like more retro-looking games is because A, I have really bad vision, but B, it means I have to imagine more. The old adage is, Link and Mario were two of the most iconic and successful characters ever created in video game history for one reason alone. They said nothing. You, the player, said all their lines. You, the player, were them. So with action platformers like this, they're simplistic in their nature. They drive you to imagine filling in the blanks of the retro bits to make it more complete is my logic behind it. So I like simple games. I like games that allow me to think as I play them and not just overwhelm all of my senses Call of Duty Mobile.
Yeah, I think Prince of Persia was a bit like that for me. But it usually... I'm getting too old now. It comes down to how quick your reactions are with that sort of game now. And my reactions are not what they used to be.
Well, that's why I like the Nintendo Switch and its NES, Nintendo Entertainment System, and their Super Nintendo System, because they do have built into it a rewind function. So quite literally, you can jump, oh, I died, hold the buttons, rewind 3 seconds, and try it again.
Yeah, that could work.
Oh, that's like a drug. It's like a drug. It's, be warned. I was going to bring one more link, and this is not an app technically or a game. It is something you can basically run on your computer in collaboration with your phone. I do believe it runs basically on every device. And I will say I've tried a whole bunch of them. This one seems pretty solid is what I'm going to say. With a lot of these mirroring applications where you can interact with your phone on a full desktop computer, lag can be quite severe is what I'll say, where there's no way you could play a game. This has very little lag, maybe not the least lag of anything I've ever tried, but definitely has low lag. And it's, I believe it's called Screen Copy, but it's actually S-C-R-C-P-Y, Screen Copy. Very easy to run, very easy to use on most Linux desktops is what I'm going to say. I'm going to assume it's even easier to run on Windows or Mac. Dare I say, it just works. If you're running a Linux, all you have to do is basically, and let me rephrase this, if you're running a Ubuntu or a Ubuntu derivative, sudo space snap space install space SCRC and hit tab and it should autocomplete Screen Copy, hit enter, and you're literally like 80% of the way there. And it just works. Really easy tool is what I'll say, especially if you want to screen record your Android device without affecting the performance of your Android device. This seemed like it did the trick.
Will this allow you to control your phone from your computer?
Okay. Yep, you can click on the screen and it will react like you clicked the Android screen itself. There is ways you can actually macro in like special keys for home, back, and things like that. So you can literally use keyboard and like mouse controls on your Android device.
I've been meaning to actually try this out. I haven't done it yet, but yeah, I'll get around to it. Good.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
I've got one more before I have to go. Okay. It's called Text Analyzer Pro. And this is a great one if you're a student who writes a lot of essays or has some essays to write. What it does is it you feed in a text or an essay or a file or whatever, and it will analyze it to death. It will give you about 700 different metrics on readability, sentiment, punctuation, grammar. Basically, anything you write that's going to be formally submitted, you run it through this first, and it'll tell you where it's wrong, what bits are being plagiarized. You know, it'll give you a whole 3 or 4 page report on a PDF file, telling you exactly how many words you've used, what words you've repeated, what user, you know, the frequency of specific words. It's really quite fantastic if you're really worried about or concerned with the quality of the written work that you're submitting. So I've sent it to my kids and asked them to try it out on their next essay and see what it does for them. But I tried it out on an Oscar Wilde poem as well, and it came up with some interesting results.
Gotcha. I will say I do like the idea. Not only will it accept text, but you can also take a picture of a text document.
Take a picture of it, and it will do OCR and everything. It's really quite a lot of functionality. And it does cost a bit of money. I don't think there is a free version. I think it costs a couple of bucks, but really is worth it. I think if you're a student who, or even a journalist or something like that, who relies on the quality of your writing to be good.
Right. Well, I will say anything that helps with grades, I think it's, you know, worth, I'll say, paying money for, because, you know, you never get a second chance to make good grades.
Absolutely. Anything you can do to get the edge over anyone, over the rest of the class.
Exactly. Well,
specifically, it might help for people who are wanting to submit their resumes or CVs for jobs. And I used to be in a position where I would review a lot of people's CVs, and the spelling mistakes and grammar errors that were there were the ones that automatically went first. So running them through something like this would be a good idea if you're serious about getting a job as well.
Yeah, I agree. And everybody, you know, unless you literally went to school for a couple of years for this, everybody can use help with exactly. their writing. Yeah. Hell, I have a boss at work who literally gives his emails to his subordinates to check before he be like, before he sends it out, because he's so
worried can use this.
About. Yeah. Well, I'll send it to him. I don't know if he trusts me, but I can send it to him. Okay, and we do have an email here I wanted to bring up really quick. I don't know if you wanted to read it or not, Ivor.
Yep. Hang on, I just don't have my email open at the moment. Open it up. Who's it from?
Mark.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Yeah, Mark, our previous host, all-around good guy and great podcaster, is is having a few family issues. As most of you probably know, his daughter has certain mobility issues, and she now, I think you mentioned a while ago on one of the podcasts that she has a wheel, she gets around in a wheelchair, which is a condition that makes it impossible for her to walk, and she needs to sit in a wheelchair. Sorry, my internet is a little bit slow today for some reason. I don't know why. My computer is very slow. Having trouble with this. Dor, have you got the email there?
Yeah. It basically goes, "Hey man, I'm not one to ask for help, especially not financial help. But my daughter has asked me to spread this as much as I can. Would you mind putting this link in AAA? Heartbreak. Stop. I have never met Mark ever." I've never shook his hand. I've never given him a hug. I've never bought him a dinner. Never seen any of his family. I'm pretty confident in saying Mark, in a lot of instances, would rather die on the side of the road in a ditch than ask somebody for help. He wants to be self-sufficient. He wants to be the stereotypical quote unquote man of the family. And what I'll say is Mark is not asking for help. Okay. Mark will not ask for help. Mark's daughter is asking for help. And, you know, I'll say this, for Mark to ask me that his daughter is asking for help is pretty damn substantive. This has not come light, people, is what I'll say. He gives us a link. The link will be in the notes to this GoFundMe. He goes on to say that this has been the hardest thing I've ever been through. In the last couple of years, I've watched my beautiful, bubbly, energetic little girl confined to a wheelchair. Her life pretty much consists of one doctor visit after another, and we're pretty helpless. So if she wants me to help her beg for money, which, Mark, you're not begging for money, he says, I'll do it. Hope all is well with you guys, and I miss you guys. Sent from my phone. I'll say this. Mark is not a former co-host of anything. Mark is a family member, and right now he's taking care of family. Mark knows anything I do for the rest of my life, anytime he wants to be on anything I ever do, all he has to do is ask and he's on. Thus, anytime Mark or any of Mark's family or any of Mark's friends or any of Mark's family friends needs any assistance whatsoever, I'm not going to just try to help myself, but I'm going to implore everybody out there, if you can help, if you have a public forum where you can share such a thing, I actually ask you, share it and say, can you please help this guy? Really nice guy. Really good kids. I know they have good kids. You know why? Because it's Mark Cockrell. Mark Cockrell's not going to have bad kids. So if you can, please support him. And I'll say this. I do not like, just like Mark doesn't like asking for help, I don't like humble bragging is the word, what I do. There's a reason I've not been able to go to basically any conference now for a couple years. It's because a huge percentage of the money that's coming into Podnuts is not going to Podnuts. It's going to help other people. People who've lost their entire family in fires, people who've lost their entire existence in floods, people who are just down on their luck, people who literally suffer from debilitating handicaps and they need just something. Whether it be just a pair of headphones, a Raspberry Pi, laptop computer, Chromebook, I try to help a lot of people. Just because I don't sit there and advertise it every week doesn't mean it doesn't happen, people. And I'm going to encourage everyone, help those who support you. And if you've ever written into any show Mark's ever done, I guarantee you this, he read it and he supported you back. Yep. So
there's one guy who's fully deserving of help. That's in a horrible, horrible condition for his daughter to have to contend with. And any help you guys can give him, I know I certainly will be donating generously, but any help you guys can give him will be really, really well, really greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. So, A, Mark, it's great to hear from you, period. Without any hesitation, I love you. I just wish we could help even more, is what I'll say. And I really hope that she gets a support dog, and it really does help her in normal day-to-day things besides just making her happy kind of thing.
Okay. Sorry, Dor.
I'm going
to
do.
Sorry, Dor. I have a hard stop. Yeah. I have to go and get the kids off the bus. So you're okay, if I just duck out now? All right.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yep. I'm going to do an app rundown here. All right. Thank you, man. Okay. App and news rundown. We start with Minecraft Earth is now available in New Zealand only, iOS and Android. Then we go Motorola teases its foldable Razer phone revealed November 13th. Then we have Do Not Pay, donotpay.com, Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry, Google Play Store, Sun Alarm, Storio, Smart Video Memories, VMOS, Virtual Root Android on Android Double System, Sheep Patrol. Then we have Into the Abyss. We have on GitHub, Screen Copy, SCRCPY. After that, we have Text Analyzer Pro. And then we have the email from Mark Cockrell. I will say again, thanks everyone for the support. Thanks everyone for downloading. Thanks everyone for sharing. Thanks everyone for coming out live. And I will say, if you know who Captain Kirk is and you can identify him in a lineup, then you're okay in my book. It's just like Weird Al said, the hardest decision I ever had in my life was, who do I like more, Kirk or Picard? We all have these trials and tribulations. I want to thank everyone for downloading, for supporting. Do not forget AAA@podnuts.com is the easiest way to send us an email. 7076-PODNUT is the easiest way to send us a voicemail. If you want to record a clip of audio on your phone and send it to us, do not hesitate. We will thank everyone for all the conversations. We will thank everyone for all the support that we get. And again, please do not forget to support those who support you. We each have to do our part, and we will talk to everyone again, hopefully, in about a week.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the PodNuts Network. The theme for my show is Everyday Tech for Everyday People. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology-related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.